For more information, go to thecenterhouston.org or call 713-525-8484.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
KYND, Cypress, Houston.
A Synergy Broadcasting Company.
Talk that inspires change. Music that revives memories.
The Powerful 1520.
And welcome to Chat with Pat, where we're changing the inner city one family at a time. I'm your host, Uri Solomon, in the studio with a host of PAC pastors, as well as our president, Wilford Dorton. PAC stands for Pastors Advancing the Kingdom. Pastors Advancing the Kingdom. Today's show topic is belief systems. We've been talking about worldviews, and that flows right on in to belief systems. And so that's what we'll be talking about today. I want to remind you, you can join us this conversation by dialing in to 832-230-5592 anytime you want to. Dial in and we'll pick it up and we'll let you talk and we'll talk back to you. And that's what we want. We want a conversation with you if you want to call in. We're going to do this. We're going to let our PAC pastors introduce themselves at this time. Amen.
Pastor Harold Marshall, Abundant Harvest Church, 8734 Windswept Lane, Piney Point, Texas.
Pastor James Warden, Second Baptist Church in the Heights, 810 West 24th Street. Service time, Sunday 11 a.m., Tuesday night 7 p.m., Bible study. Welcome to our show today.
Pastor Roderick Young, Pastor of the Bethany Missionary Baptist Church, 3307 Elysian Street in the Fifth Ward area of our city. The service time on Sunday morning is 8 a.m. Welcome.
Pastor Ralph Crowder of Club Creek, New Life Community Baptist Church, Southwest Houston, 8109 Creek Bend. We have our service at 10:30. If you're interested, tomorrow we're going to have two great services. Two of my friends are going to preach. Pastor Perry Riley in the morning at our 10:30 service. And in the evening, celebrating our anniversary, 21 years of ministry, Pastor James E. Blake of Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church.
Wilford Darden, Equippers Bible Fellowship, 2600 Chew, service times 11 o'clock.
All right. And I'm Uri Solomon, pastor of New Life Baptist Church in the heart of Sunnyside.
In the heart of Sunnyside.
4714 Wilmington Street. We'd love to see you there at 10 a.m. Tomorrow morning. All right. We are again talking about belief systems and reminding you, you can join this conversation, 832-230-5592. Now, we've been talking about worldviews, and we laid out what worldviews are: the religious, the secular, the underworld, and the biblical worldview. And so I'm tempted to ask Will to just do a brief review on them, just a run through on them, so that we can set up for going through belief systems.
And the reason being is because the worldview is a reflection of the belief system.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see the worldview, it reflects something someone already believes.
Mm-hmm.
So when we take a look at that, and the practical behavior patterns that comes out of the utopian section of the worldview, where we get our success models or where we imagine ourselves successfully, I should say, is a reflection also of what we believe. So the underworld is illegal and immoral, recognized by get-over behavior. Secular world is legal but immoral, is recognized by double standards. The religious world is moral but unethical, it's recognized by its hypocrisy. And the kingdom worldview is legal, moral, and ethical, and is recognized by righteous living from the perspective of objective truth. Now we go into the belief system itself, and when we begin to do it, we take a look at belief systems. It is a compilation of paradigms, stereotypes, worldviews, experiences that influence decision making.
Yes.
Paradigms, stereotypes, worldviews, experiences that influence decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And we must say that decision making is the primary element of life, because everything you do falls mm-hmm. down to a decision you have to make. And most of the time, the decisions are reflections of your belief as well as the view you have of the world. And when we take a look at putting the practical element of functional belief, it goes as follows. You have a desire. Your desire flow into an image, big picture that comes into your mind. The big picture must flow through a worldview. Once it flows through a worldview, it's going to go into your identity, something you identify with to be successful and something you identify to be prosperous. Out of that identity is going to flow into some experience. And out of that experience, you're going to get faith, and the faith is going to roll you on right on into something you believe. That's how it functions. So we take a look at it, go back to the definition. We start talking about belief systems being a compilation of paradigms, stereotypes, worldviews, experiences that flow into decision making. We have to go in and unpack those words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have to unpack the stereotype, I guess. The paradigm. Yeah. I guess we just dive off into that first. And so when we take a look at the paradigm, paradigms. Let me just go back and say this. Depending on the philosopher that you get in school or the theologian that you sat under or the preacher or teacher, apologist, they come up with their own approaches to worldviews.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own approaches to belief systems. So I'm just going to give you my approach. And the reason I want to do that is because my approach is so that we can empower the layman. Because the key to any movement that changes society has to be with the layman.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever gets the layman involved in their work will be the ones who are pretty successful in getting some type of revival. And when you see revival, revival is when the lay people get involved in doing the work that God has called them or whomever. Now, so the first word, gentlemen, that comes off the page that should be open for discussion is paradigms. And paradigms is uninvestigated consciousness. And uninvestigated consciousness has to do with the example we give all the time of driving somewhere familiar.
Yeah.
Then you go somewhere new. And you're on the same path of going to the place that you are going that's familiar, only to pass up the place that you're supposed to go to that's new because you're headed toward a familiar place.
Yeah.
And I often ask the question, what's driving the car? The paradigm, because you're so familiar with it. Once you get on that path can automatically drive you to that place.
Yeah.
And on your way there, you have to snap and say, okay, I'm not going here, and reinvestigate where you're going. because unconsciously you've already gone to do something that you hadn't planned to do that day. Now place that in the context of behavior and then set it in the vehicle of addiction, and you'll see why so many people are doing so many things that they are unaware of. You know, they tell the story. My friend tells a story. He was on doing death row work. And while they were interviewing the guys on death row, when the aura of being outside the jail cell was gone, mm-hmm. all of the things that you had the privileges to do with life, when they were gone, they were talking to the guys on death row and asking them, did they really remember doing most of the acts that they were involved in? And the answer was no. And while all of that aura was removed, the 40% of them said that they wouldn't have, had they been where they are now, they would never have participated in what drove them to death row. I say that because the paradigm is so powerful in that it can produce a norm inside your thinking that allows you to participate in stuff that you're really not familiar with or aware of at that time. And so one of the things that God does for us when he comes in and describes us as sinners is get us to take a look at the sinfulness in our paradigms. Because if you don't take a look at the sinfulness in your paradigm, you'll continue the behavior that you're supposed to be bringing under the dominion of Christ.
You know, I found in the paradigm of myself and other people that I've had to deal with in ministry, sometimes when you come in, even when you get a understanding of Christ's righteousness and how he puts you in right standing with God, then you have to deal with that paradigm, those subconscious thoughts that has created a false self.
Mm-hmm.
That false self that, you know, everybody know you as that false self, but you know that's not really you.
Mm-hmm.
And you operate in that false self because it's a safe place.
Yeah.
And you go there because every time you come out, try to come out, somebody object to you coming out, and they'll even say things like, you know that's not you, but you know it's you. And so you'll retreat back to your false self, and speaking of myself, you know, because a lot of times I went places that I really didn't want to go.
Right.
And spent money I really didn't have.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, folks would tell me stuff like the party ain't going to be the party till you get there.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't feeling like party. You know, I'm feeling all other. But that false self.
Yeah.
You know, makes me want to go and deny who I really am. So I can get saved and not deal with that false self.
That's right.
And that false paradigm. And I'll be at church and I'll be hearing the word. But if it's not if there's not a move of the Holy Spirit to move in and dig out.
Yes, sir.
That falseness.
Yes, sir.
And I need an environment where I feel safe.
Yes, sir.
To come out.
And that is the role of the church.
Yes.
The role of the church is to create that environment, because many times those who are changing need another environment to go to feel not only self safe, but also to feel to continue with the enthusiasm that they received once they got saved.
Yes.
You know, you're saved. I'm on my way to heaven. God is great. Hallelujah. I'm walking down. You know, we call it the glory cloud moment. With you and God are just having a great time. But then all of a sudden you come under the pressures of the world, or those who are not saved, or the old grumpy people that's been saved a while and have rolling into their own belief systems and patterns. And now you don't really know how to engage that kind of thing to the point where that enthusiasm remains the same.
I'd like to say this also. It can happen. You can come out of a paradigm just by creating a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Crowder and I don't know if he remembers, but this guy that he kept saying was nothing wrong with him. And after a while in the class, when he created when a safe place was created where he didn't have to be tough.
Right.
He didn't have to be, didn't have to have it going on.
Yeah.
And I remember at the graduation, him saying, I'm glad you helped me understand that I was angry.
Mm. Right.
And he didn't have to be angry. You were in an environment that you don't have to be angry. You don't have to be upset with everybody.
Yeah.
Now, it's the Holy Spirit that did that.
Sure.
To create a safe environment where now the penetrating work of the class and the shift of the paradigm can take place.
Yes.
Because now he's coming out of that false self.
And you have to hook that safety element to the identity. We've talked about worldviews, and that's going to give you the reflection. That's the reflection of the paradigm. But the identity is where all of the material is where the belief system lands. Okay. Because it gives you your self-worth.
Okay.
It gives you it makes you feel good about yourself. It's the part of you that really allows you to explore the world, go into the world, be all you can be for whatever reason you want to be it. And in the identity, you have this section for success, for security,
mm-hmm.
because you must feel secure before you identify with something. And then the second piece is the prosperity.
Yeah.
Once I'm secure and I'm prosperous, it's all right for me to want to tell everyone this is who I am. So if I come out, I get 5 college degrees and get a job at, you know, some great place or IBM, let's say, then all of a sudden somebody say, well, hey, what's going on? What's your name? My name is Will. Well, where you work? IBM.
Yeah.
To identify with IBM, identify with, you know, and I got a master's, I got 3 bachelor's and 4 PhDs, I don't know, but that is a part of what makes you feel secure.
That guy I was telling you about, he illustrates exactly what you're saying, because at graduation he told me, I've opened my own business.
Yeah, right. And so now that's a part of identifying him. You know, we talked about Clayton Moore. Clayton Moore was the Lone Ranger. And we spoke about that Clayton Moore would wear his Lone Ranger cowboy suit to Walmart or Kroger's
mm-hmm.
because he wanted to be identified as a Lone Ranger. He didn't want to be viewed as Clayton Moore, which goes to your point. The new self was only safe riding the horse.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's riding the horse and pretending as he's the actor that made him famous. But he couldn't be Clayton Moore. That was just boring. And so he couldn't identify with the new piece, so the Lone Ranger had rolled into his paradigm.
Yeah.
And in that paradigm, that it was an automatic norm for him to walk around. And, you know, the thing that got him in trouble was that he wore the mask and stuff inside the store, and they didn't know he was going to rob it or not.
All right. This is a great conversation. You're listening to Chat with Pac, where we're changing the inner city one family at a time. We'll be back after this.
KYND 1520, KYNDradio.com.
10 people affiliated with a Texas-based Latino prison gang have been arrested in a coordinated series of roundups in the Houston, Corpus Christi, and San Antonio areas. With the news flash, I'm Trey Westerberg on 1520 KYND. The Justice Department says the arrests are part of a three-year investigation of drug trafficking involving members of the HPL gang. Federal prosecutors say twin brothers from Dallas County have been sentenced to 4 years each in federal prison. 52-year-olds Roger and Rodney Wagner from Cedar Hill will also have to pay nearly $1.9 million in restitution for operating a Ponzi scheme. Authorities say investors lost more than $2.1 million in the scheme. Authorities say a man in custody on possession of a destructive device is responsible for a fire that destroyed a South Texas mosque. 25-year-old Mark Perez has not been charged in the blaze. The Justice Department in Houston says Perez appeared before a federal judge Thursday in Corpus Christi. With the news flash, I'm Trey Westerberg on 1520 KYND.
In winter, you can practically hear your skin changing. Drying out, flaking, tightening, becoming itchy, irritated, and inflamed. You need the fast relief of Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing Anti-Itch Cream. Unlike regular lotions, Cortisone 10 relieves itch and irritation with 1% hydrocortisone, the strongest non-prescription itch medicine, plus 7 healing moisturizers. With Cortisone 10,
no more fun!
Winter can just sound fun again. Cortisone 10, feel the heal. Use as directed.
You're on the air with Berryman. Our family of products helps your family of cars. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, Berryman, what do you got?
B12 Chemtool Fuel Additive cleans a car's engine from the fuel tank to the combustion chamber, improves performance, increases gas mileage.
What else you got?
B33 Engine Degreaser destroys road grime, grease, dirt, and oil. A cleaner engine is a better running engine.
What else you got?
B12 Total Fuel System Cleaner, made with the strongest solvent detergent on the market to help your car reach its full fuel potential. What else you got? Exactly. Berryman, the good stuff since 1918.
Hi, this is James Dixon inviting you to join me for my brand new talk show right here on KYND each Monday at 6 o'clock p.m. starting March 13th. And remember, I always empower you.
This is Noel Pinnock with My Brother's Keeper Houston. Did you know that there are over 220,000 youth between the ages of 10 and 24 in the city of Houston? 50% of them are Hispanic, 25% are black. The sad thing is that many of them will have opportunities to be successful in life. At My Brother's Keeper Houston, we're looking to maintain and support an efficient cradle-to-career system that will help you achieve their fullest potential. Look us up, mbkhouston.org, or call us at 713-303-4624.
From Summerwood to Sunnyside. On the air everywhere. Everywhere. The powerful 1520.
And you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes to scrub the floors for many. And you best believe she hardly gets a penny.
Welcome back to the Chat with Pack radio broadcast, where we're changing the inner city one family at a time, reminding you that if you change what they think, you'll change what they do. I want to remind you that if you want to know more about us, then you can go to our website. That website, chatwithpack.org. That's chatwithpack, P-A-K.org. There you will find a plethora of information about us, as well as some things that you can download, some materials that a lot of what we say on the broadcast, you can follow along with us through these various materials. We invite you to go out to that website and check it out, Chat with Pack, Pack is P-A-K, Chat with Pack, one word, .org. We have several campuses around the city. And even outside of the city. And so we want to talk about that a little bit. We have new classes that are starting this week. And you can call our offices at 713-784-6055 and find out about our classes. Sign up for our classes. Let's talk about the classes. Get ready to start a little bit.
We have a new class on the southeast side in the center. In the center part, what is that?
The heart.
The heart. the heart of a third wall.
Sunny side.
Didn't tell you what I know. I wasn't even listening to it. I don't know where I was. Third wall starting, sunny side stuff, but he in the heart of wherever it is. And that's your campus. Tell us what you want to get done over there in your first day, Mr. Solomon.
Well, we're located at 4714 Wilmington Street, 77033. If you want to put it in your GPS, that's enough information to find it. And right off of Wilmington and Cullen. And what we want to do is we want to offer as what we do, which is offer these classes that will help you to get in front of the line for a job.
Yeah.
It will help you to understand what's going on in life. And so while you probably will come for the job, there's some bonuses. There's some other stuff that's going to impact you in such a way that you will never be the same.
You know, we had our gala last night, and part of the testimonies that really just kind of got everybody focused was the fact that one lady said that not only did the class help her, but she's already working. And that particular job that she had, she found on her own. We led her to something, but out of that, she went to somewhere and made more money on her own, which is what we want.
Because
she had the ability and the tools to choose what we had given her or to do something a little better for herself. So she wasn't just stuck on just going to where we sent her. She had the tools to be able to be flexible, to find what she want, and then to get into somewhere to start to get her family to change so we can change the inner city one family at a time. And so, yes, the classes will start tomorrow. Pastor Marshall, what y'all got going on the southwest side?
Well, we want to do all that Pastor Solomon said. And what we really want to do is change people from being followers to leaders.
Yeah.
From being spontaneous thinkers to process thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can process not just about a job, but about their personal life and their family lives. And when we all, I guess, I don't know where this began, but one day the light went on and we said what we wanted to do was return men to their father, to their sons. And we really focus on that. And I'm sure they do it on all campuses, but we really focus on that on the southwest side. That's, you know, and one of our statements in the class, and I don't know if it's proper here, but I'm going to make it anyway. We say your baby's mama might be crazy.
Mm.
And your baby's daddy might be crazy. But the baby needs you.
The baby needs you.
The baby needs you. And so what we're trying to do is return you to your son. And to your daughters.
Yes.
And it's real good if you can go back to them with a job.
Yeah. Oh, good.
But it's better if you can go to them with a better you.
Mm. Yeah.
So our classes, and I would like to say, if you've been trying to get in touch with us and missed us, show up Monday morning at 10 o'clock, preferably 9 o'clock, and we can do some prep work and get you started.
Let me go out and say this. Oh, yeah, get our main campus, brother.
We'll be starting at 2600 Chew Street, 10 a.m. Monday morning, whereby we're going to do everything that everybody else said. That's our whole purpose, is to help try to change lives one family at a time, try to empower the men and women to become powerful and productive believers in their home, in their community, in their workplace, and wherever they find themselves, because that's the whole objective, is to become powerful and productive wherever your feet shall tread, so that wherever darkness is, light can enter into the room. And so that's our objective, and we're looking forward to. If you are challenged in life, feel like life owes you something, come see us.
Yeah.
Come see us. We can help you. We can help you get on the right track and to do what needs to be done, because we'll change the way you think. And if we can change the way you think, we'll change the way you behave.
Yeah.
Come and see us.
Yeah, we're doing a little something, a little different day. Not something different, but a different day on the at the Southeast campus. We are on Wednesday. We will be starting. That is the 15th of March. We will be starting at 10 a.m. So if you want to get in touch with our campus or any of the campuses, call this number, 713-784-6055, and they will put you in touch with whichever campus is nearest you so that it can be convenient for you. Now, you can go to any campus you want to go to, but if you want whatever's near you, we can get you in touch with that campus.
And we also have a Northwest campus. It's one and out of Carbondale Community Church. Mm-hmm. Pastor Freddie Solomon is the pastor on that end, and he is running his campus in into the Mission Yahweh to help the ladies there to process, think out of some situations and circumstances. They will be having a graduation this Friday.
All right.
And so we'll be making that happen. But their campus will start the following Monday.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And also there's a campus in Huntsville, Texas.
Right.
So if you're in Huntsville area, we are there, and we can help you there. If you just call that number that Pastor Solomon mentioned, and they'll put you in touch with who you need to be in touch with to send you in the right direction.
Yes. Yeah, so all of the campuses, and they'll have a graduation the following Friday up in Huntsville. So we got our work cut out for us, but changing lives one family at a time is the focus, and that's what's happening, and things are going. We press toward the mark on that.
All right. We hear that Pastor Crowder is celebrating
tomorrow. Yes, sir.
Yeah, tomorrow I have the privilege of being pastor of Club Creek New Life Community Baptist Church for 21 years.
Our service is
tomorrow at 3:30. If any of my members listen to me, I know y'all need to be there at 3, but our service guests are coming at 3:30. But, yes, I really just thank God for being able to do that. And I want to just go back to what we were saying about the classes. You all, please remember, we have jobs for these classes. That's one of the things we're doing. But mm-hmm. the main thing we're doing is changing people's lives. If you know somebody, and I'm talking to my friends on Facebook Live and on the radio now, if y'all know some of our friends that are still struggling, going through some issues, or just anybody just having problems in lives and struggling, have them call one of our numbers. Y'all know Pastor Marsha and I, we're there in Piney Point, Southwest Campus, and then we have these other camps around. But we are helping people change their lives.
And we're giving you one central number so that you can dial that number and get to any one of us, 713-784-6055. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right.
That's right.
You did it, man.
I just floated on in there.
It's in the paradigm. It's in the paradigm, man.
Now, I want to make an announcement on behalf of the Baptist Ministers of Houston and Vicinity and our president, Dr. Max A. Miller. The citywide revival starting on tomorrow night. It's running the 13th through the 17th, and our 10:30 service, it starts at 10:30 a.m., and our speaker is none other than the legendary Dr. F.D. Sampson. And then on that night at 7 p.m. from Chicago, Illinois, Dr. Stephen Thurston. Come out and support the citywide revival and be blessed this week. The services will be held at 7817 Calhoun Road. That's the Mount Hebron Missionary Baptist Church at 7817 Calhoun Road, 77033, the citywide revival. All right. So we've been talking about paradigms. Well, we've been talking about belief systems, and we've talked about paradigms and how paradigms can put you on automation.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, and there's this approach that, in fact, it flowed into something that we talked about, identity.
Yeah.
And that an identity shows up when you start to do something different. There's some stuff that we just think go along with whatever it is that we're doing. If we get $100,000, all of a sudden, what we think we should identify with at having $100,000. It just gets us to start acting different, right? Yes,
that's exactly right. and it's the key piece in behavior, because the behavior is going to change when the identity change. And so that the driving force in the identity for the underworld, secular and religious, is materialism. And the materialism, the amount of how you, the idea of how you assess wealth and prosperity, determines how well you feel about yourself.
But I like when you talk about the fact that it's an image.
Yes.
That's driving the whole
thing. It is an image. And the desire comes out of, the desire is going to roll into that image. So let's just do, music, for example. If I want to be a musician, if I desire to sing, my image is going to be a big picture. I'm on the stage, everybody's clapping. Right. I mean, the whole, I'm it. And the worldview determines what I sing. So if my imagery is large for music, if I go to the hood, I'm going to probably do rap. Mm. If I go into the secular world, I can do R&B, country, western, whatever the secular
mindset
if would have. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going, and my identity is going to be whether that music is going to make me successful or prosperous. Now, it's going to roll into my experience because the experience validates. Yeah. Experiences validate reality, and it processes irrationality. So if I go in and my first song, I get $50, then my identity is not doing too well. But then my second song is $5,000, then I feel a little bit better. But if the third song drops off to $500, you know, I'm all over the map. But what's happening is reality is being shaped because no two experiences are alike. But now my image is messed up because I don't have a lot of people in front of me at $5 a song. So now I have to process my paradigm. And so to take a look at whether that thing is worth it. And so now my faith is shaky because the faith is determined practically on the amount of money I made with the song. Mm-hmm. And so my faith is going up and down because it's being validated by the experience. And I'm kind of shaky because all of the people that I wanted to see in my imagery, it doesn't look like they're going to make it to the meeting.
Interesting question came up when you said, when your experience determines if you're going to keep going. And I thought about how that affects ministry. Because a lot of people drop out,
mm-hmm,
because their experience don't look like the vision,
right,
that they received when they started.
Right, right.
And so in that sense, your experience can't be the one that validates.
You don't want it to ever do that. Your validation must always be based on whether something's true or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's truth, you can always find it there, even if you don't like it.
Yeah.
But my faith now is being shaky. You hear people all the time that says, I was doing fine before I came to God.
Mm.
When I came to God, all of my stuff just started tearing up and falling all the pieces. But what's the statement? The statement is now a reflection of the experience element of the belief system. And the identity can't enthusiastically be satisfied if my experiences are not going too well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but it's an interesting note that, and the reason I listed materialism to the first three worldviews, mm-hmm, because when you get to the kingdom worldview, you swing over a large chasm to the godly contentment section. Because believers are to replace materialism with godly contentment. And Paul said that he was content with having a whole lot, and he was content with not having a whole lot, but he recognized that as long as he was in ministry, God was going to supply that need.
Right. Yeah. One of the things we constantly say in the class is that don't ever make the job your source.
Yeah.
Always make God your source. Now go to the job.
Yes.
And take care of your business.
Vision.
But in your peace factor, you always want to make God your source.
And the job should fuel your vision.
Yes.
If the job fuels your vision for living, then, you know, when the fuel is what determines when you get to your destination and how fast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if your destination is to have a solid family, for example.
Right.
And part of the job plays an important part to having a solid family because it pays the bills.
Yes.
So you're weighing, if my family is solid, is the teaching in place, is everyone going to school, are we having a home that's no drama, is everybody loving one another like they should? That's a solid family. Is everybody pretty much headed in the same focus, the same direction? In all, you know, in our home, our primary piece is to glorify God.
All right.
Is to put God on display kind of thing.
All right. You're listening to Chat with Pac, where we're changing the inner city one family at a time. We'll be back right after this.
1520.
KYND.
In 1979, his career exploded. In 1979, his solo career exploded.
Don't stop till you get enough.
One hit after another. They just kept on coming.
My baby, it don't matter if you're black or white.
Million sellers.
Just want your hands to turn in your.
2 million stars. One of the greatest of all time.
Would you be the most beautiful girl in the world?
One of the greatest of all time.
I just can't stop loving you.
Prince.
Purple rain.
Michael Jackson.
I think about the good stars.
It's a Hall of Fame showdown.
This Friday afternoon at 2 on 1520 KYND.
Did you know that Shirley Ann's Black Collectibles and Flowers has one of the largest displays of black statues in the country? They're located in the heart of Acres Home. Shirley Ann's has a special treasure to add to your collection, and it's the perfect place to find the ideal gift for someone you love. They also take care of all of your floral needs. Shirley Ann's Black Collectibles, 6130 Wheatley Street. Call 713-692-1100. That's 713-692-1100. Shirley Ann's Black Collectibles.
Gone, but not forgotten.
I'm sending you a kiss. Put it where you wanna, baby.
Gone, but not forgotten.
I'm gonna kiss you where I miss you.
In 1968, he had his first million seller.
I'm coming loose, making love to your old lady.
In 1968, he had his first million seller.
Baby, can I change my mind?
JT.
This time we got a good love. This time we got something special.
CD.
I got carried away.
Johnny Taylor.
Love is rated X. That means you're extra special, girl.
Tyrone Davis.
Are you in love?
Showdown, Friday, March 24th, on 1520 KYND. From Baytown to Brenham, on the air everywhere.
Everywhere.
The powerful 1520.
All right, welcome back to the Chat with Pac radio broadcast, reminding you that if you change what they think, you'll change what they do. I want to remind you that you can go to our website. Our website is chatwithpac.com. PAC, PAC is P-A-K, chat with PAC, one word, .org. There you can find a plethora of materials to download, as well as information about who we are and what we do. So we invite you to go to chatwithpat.org, and there you will find out about us. Again, we have classes that are starting this week. We have a class on our various campuses that start Monday at 10 a.m., as well as one in the southeast that's in Sunnyside that starts at on Wednesday at 10 a.m. So we invite you to call our offices if you need information and you want to sign up for those classes, 713-784-6055. That's 713-784-6055. And you can find out about those classes. Those classes lead to jobs. And so if you're looking for a job, if you're looking for enrichment in your life, a better understanding of how life functions and life works, if you're kind of stuck in the quagmire and you're trying to get out of a hole, get out of a rut, you want to do better for yourself, then we invite you to come to these classes. Your life will never be the same. Amen. Again, 713-784-6055. Again, we've been talking about belief systems. We've been talking about things. You may have heard these terms, not paradigms, and certainly you've heard the word identity. And so it's all about how does that work? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you think the way you think? Why do you make the decisions and the choices that you make? This is what we talk about in these classes as well. So we invite you to learn about, to call us about these classes, 713-784-6055. Let's continue to talk about belief systems.
You know, Pastor Young was kind of making a statement during the break that I'd like him to kind of just chime in as it relates to belief systems.
Well, we were talking to those that were on Facebook Live, mm-hmm. In reference to the belief systems, how that the conversation was going earlier in reference to those who have that vision, and the vision is that they have this utopia of reaching that utopia where they see the grandman, they've got the big money, they got the houses and the cars, but yet when their experience doesn't always match up to that, then they have a great disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, as for the believer in the kingdom, we have a different perspective, because our perspective is based on truth, not necessarily our experience that we have in everyday life.
Yes.
It's based on the truth of God, which is stable in spite of what we may experience.
Yes.
His truth, it always supersedes whatever we have, and so therefore we have the assurance of knowing that our utopia may not always experience it on this side, but yet there is a utopia that he does allow us to experience on this side, and
that's
it may
true.
Not be based on material things.
That's true.
Because you can have peace even with no money in your
that's
pocket.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You can have joy even with in a room all by yourself.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So it's not based on things. Whereas the worldview and the world secular, the worldview of
the underworld mm-hmm.
and religious world
mm-hmm.
is based on things.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's driven by things and what you have and what you possess, because even in the religious world they're telling you that if you don't have prosperity, then you may not be praying right.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's true.
If you don't have prosperity, then therefore maybe your God is not, you're not talking to the right God, but God is not based on what I have, but
right.
It's based on the relationship that I have with him.
Man, that's good.
You know, it's the assurance is, I'm not in heaven, but I know I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Right.
You know.
Heaven bound.
You know, so I'm not experiencing heaven.
Yeah.
But I know I will.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's based on the truth of God's word, as you said.
Yeah.
And everything we do is based on that truth.
Right.
And we know that when we pray, God, according to God's word, he's going to answer. Now,
yes.
We might not have the answer in our hand, but we know he's going to come through.
Yeah.
But
so
that
we
also
trust him.
That also leads us to the importance of walking with him.
Yes.
Because the walking with him provides the security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all day yesterday, things were not going well, even up to the time of the gala.
Yeah.
But from the time they started going bad to the time I got to the gala, I stayed plugged into him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all the various things that I thought was going to happen as I was talking to him, the trust level was assuring me, boy, it's going to be all right. We've done too many of these things. What's wrong with you? Kind of thing. Well, I recognized I was in my flesh.
Yeah.
And in the flesh is humanistic.
Yeah.
And in the humanistic part of the flesh, you can be insecure because you don't think it's going to go right. So you got to switch out of that old fleshly question mark period, which is now reverted back to the old paradigm.
Yeah.
It stripped me of the new me.
Yeah.
And the power that I had to even start it to get there, because everyone in the room know was far worse then than it was going to that gala.
Yes.
And he pulled me through then. That's housed in my experience. So I, you know, I can quickly recover.
Yeah.
And the contentment is going to come back to assure me that it's going to be all right.
How many of us then experience thinking about a thing all night?
Yeah.
And how it can go a certain way. And wake up in the morning, and he's already taken care of it.
Already.
I like what Francis Schaeffer said. He said that in the Christian, whether in the non-believer's life, he says that suffering is central. They spend all their time trying to avoid suffering, and they get a little joy every now and then on the periphery. Whereas in the Christian life, joy is central.
Mm-hmm.
And suffering's on the periphery.
Yes.
In other words, our suffering, those trials, those times, and don't think of suffering as somebody, you know, crucifying you, but even when we are concerned, when we're worried about things, I mean, they produce some degree of suffering. And yet, when we focus on Christ, that suffering, even the suffering produces joy.
Right. Yeah.
Would you explain the difference between happy and joy?
Well, they say that happiness is based on circumstance.
Happening.
So whatever's happening, you know, it determines how I feel.
Yes.
It determines, you know, pretty much it determines what I do because I'm moved. That's the word. I'm moved by whatever happens.
Yes.
Yes.
Whereas joy is always, because joy is from the inside. Happiness is from the outside in. Joy is from the inside out. Yes. And so that's that. So joy in Christ is because whatever situation I'm in, I recognize, okay, God's hand is on me. So whether I'm suffering or whether I'm happy, we say when we're going through stuff and everything's going well and happy, man, the Lord really is doing some great things for me. He's always doing great things. It's just sometimes we like it.
Yeah.
But then the joy is also where he is satisfied with your walk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what brings the joy. The joy is comes from when God is satisfied that the hookup that you have between the two of you is good. And so now his presence comes in and kind of surrounds all of the ifs, ands, and buts. So that whenever they don't do what they should do, it's not going to matter because you know his presence is there. And in times of trouble, that's what bails us out.
Yes.
It bails us out because we know his presence is there, which is that's different from being the religionist, because the religionists don't have that relationship with God, so the presence factor is not there.
Yeah.
It's just materialistic, and now it's going bad, but I have no one to reach to outside of myself. And so I'm all alone.
It's pretty good when you lay down on the pillow at night and say, Lord, I don't know if I did all that you would have me to do today, but I'm pretty satisfied with the way you
took care of your business.
Yeah, you know.
It goes back to what we're talking about is being based on the truth, because, you know, the Bible says, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Yeah.
And then that peace of mind and that joy that comes from the inside, not happiness, because surely, you know, as we were talking and I reflected back on 21 years of ministry, and I know each one of us can reflect back on it. Everything didn't go the way I planned it. No, I don't know if anything went the way I planned.
But
also, many things that looked like they weren't going to work out did work out. And the truth of the matter was, I held on to the truth. Certain scriptures, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll supply all your needs. You know, and when it comes down to it, that's what we're trying to get people to do. Because if we can change what you depend on, not depending on yourself, if you change that you're dependent on the Lord, I'm thinking about his word and not my situation, you can run on and you can have joy and you can affect someone else. Don't forget, y'all, all that we're doing to change people's lives, it has to affect other people.
I think we get that the identity of a Christian is in Christ.
I want to
be a son of God like Jesus is a son of God.
Yes.
But Will, what is the paradigm of a Christian?
The paradigm of a Christian should be the hope, the trust factor of God should be in the paradigm. You can trust him no matter what.
Yes.
And if the trust factor is in the paradigm, you can trust him no matter what, then your automatic pilot will take you into your calling. Yeah. And you'll flow right on into what he's called you to do because you recognize that the trust factor is operating the way it should. But if you don't have trust, you have unbelief.
Now, is it fair to say that the image is to see myself standing at the judgment seat of Christ, hearing him say, well done?
The image would be to be made in the likeness of Christ, because Christ is the only one who got the well done.
You're right about it.
Good and in that imagery, you see in Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 says that he is the expressed image of God. And so in the imagery, I'm made in his image and likeness. That's at the core.
Yes.
And we know Satan's marred the image and likeness. So Christ comes back through our growth, the growth levels, and begins to repair us slowly as we grow into the image, knowing theologically that God has already placed us in Christ, positionally justified us, so that those processes can work for us.
Yeah.
But now getting the inside of that belief system to be shaped to where we trust in God is the fight.
All right, I know there's somebody out there that's not saved, doesn't believe in Christ, and maybe they realize they could die at any time. If you had 2 minutes to live, what's the most important thing in life that you could do?
First, you want to ask God to forgive you of all your sins. Second, you want to believe in the death, burial, and physical resurrection of Jesus on the cross for your sins. Third, you want to ask God to send you the Holy Spirit in such a way that you have a relationship with him, recognizing that it's impossible to go to hell if you've received the Holy Spirit, and that the Bible says,
if you see
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 is the text. Senior moment, I'm sealed.
All right, want to remind you that you can tune in each Saturday at 4 p.m. right here to KYND, 1520 a.m., for the Chat with Pat radio broadcast, where we are changing the inner city
one family at a time.
The views and opinions expressed on KYND 1520 Talk programs are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, management, other hosts, or advertisers. Show topics on this station may include conversations on any lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practices. KYND, a Synergy Broadcasting Company.
History shows that it does not matter who is in power or what revolutionary forces take over the government. Those who have not learned to do for themselves and have to depend solely on others never obtain any more rights or privileges in the end than they had in the beginning. Carter G. Woodson, The Miseducation of the Negro. I'm Paris Ealy.
1520 KYND.
Hey, this is Billy Dorsey. I am the host of Marathon Mornings. We have now moved. We're on Monday mornings at 11 o'clock a.m. right here on KYND Radio, the kind of talk that inspires change.
It's that time of year again. Time for the 11th annual H-Town Blues Festival. April 15th at the NRG Arena. The Blues is All Right Tour. This year starring Sir Charles Jones. Willie Clayton. TK Soul. Bishop Bullwinkle.
Hell no. Tell the no, no, no.
Pokey Bear.
To be with my side.
Tucker.
Don't take me there.
And Tyree Neal.
Bring it on home.
The 11th annual H-Town Blues.